When God created the world, He saw that it was good. Everything that God made is good. But it so happens that when man came into the picture, and the angels came into the picture, He gave to them the free will, the use of free will. All of the creatures that He made were made for the same purpose, which is to give glory to God. And when He made angels and men, they were made for that same purpose, made of the same material, which is nothing, made for the same purpose, which is the glory of God. But they had the power to freely give glory to God. It gave them the power of free will. And this power of free will rendered the possibility of making another choice. We consider today the other choice. We can choose to do what God wants, or we can choose to do what we want. God intended that things be arranged in a certain way, and He saw that it was good. The sun, the moon, the stars, created them over the course of 6 days. On the seventh day, He rested from His work, and He saw that it was good, and the rest was good. Created man unto His own image and likeness, and there was great beauty in him, that he was good. Created the angels, creatures of pure intellect and pure will, complete spiritual beauty, and they were good. We look at everything that God has done, and we see that it is good. Every choice that He has made, good. Now we enter into the mystery of man, and then of the angels. The angels were the first one to make another choice, to choose to do something differently than the way that God wanted to do it. And what they chose, we call sin. We will see with St. Ignatius, St. Thomas Aquinas, Sacred Scripture, that sin is the only evil. There is no other evil beside sin. We will not sound all the depths of sin, but consider only a few things. One way of saying it is simply the making of another choice besides the one that God intended for us to make. Now, He gave us a free will, and we can make any number of beautiful choices, provided these choices do not go against His divine order, the way in which He made this cosmos in which we find ourselves, this beautiful harmony and diversity, this beautiful unity of all things that are so diverse in one reality which we call the universe. Look everywhere where God is, and we see beauty, we see truth, we see goodness. But then the greatest of His creatures, the greatest of all of His creation, He who is the greatest of the creatures of light, and since He was the greatest of the creatures of light, He was called Lucifer, or Lucifer, decided that He would make another choice than the choice that God made. And He said one negative word, non serviam. I will not serve. I will not serve a God who shall become man. I will not serve a God who is going to make all the rules for me as to how I should live. I want to make my own happiness. And as Milton would say of Lucifer, I would rather reign in hell than serve in heaven. He made the choice, the first other choice than the way that God had made things. I will not serve. Non serviam. What is the consequence of this choice? A new reality is created, which we meditated upon yesterday, a place called hell. God did not intend that such a place should ever exist. He only intended there should be one place outside of this earth, and that's heaven. It was not his intention that there be a place called hell. It was the will of Lucifer and the will of man that there should be such a place. The place of those who make another choice than the one that God intended for them to make. The evil of sin. What does sin do to our universe? What is it? We were made good. We were made perfect. We decided to make another choice. We looked around the world, and as Lucifer was given a great intelligence, and he looked at the universe, and he understood it. He saw the beauty of it. He saw the order of it. He saw the structure. And it all seemed good to him. And he liked his place in that structure since he was the number one man. But what caused him to commit that first sin? St. Thomas tells us, God revealed to the angels. Remember that the angels were not created in the same earth in which we are. We're not created in heaven. They were created in the same earth, the same universe in which we are. They weren't created in a different universe. And then they were given a test. And they passed the test, they go to the kingdom of heaven. Two-thirds of the angels would pass the test, one-third would fail it. One-third would listen to Lucifer. Two-thirds would listen to Michael. And the test was, I, God, am going to become in the form of man. Now this scandalized Lucifer. He realized that man was a much lower creature than himself. Did not have the power, did not have the intelligence, did not have the will, did not have the beauty of Lucifer or any of the other angels. And it would seem wrong that God should become a lower creature. First of all, God is infinitely greater than all creation. He should never lower himself to enter into creation. It is wrong that God should be humble, says Lucifer. God is God. He should not lower himself. He was afraid of God's lowering himself. Terrified of it. Why? Several reasons. God is going to lower himself to become a creature. This is offensive to Lucifer because, number one, God should not lower himself to become a creature, since he is God. And number two, if God was going to lower himself to become a creature, it is only fitting that he should make himself united to the greatest of all the creatures, which just happens to be Lucifer. Therefore, God should unite himself to Lucifer if he was to unite himself to creation. If there was going to be an incarnation, it should be inside of Lucifer and not inside of a man. Wrong to become to lower himself, and if he was, to lower himself to a lower form of creation. And further, the most offensive result of all of this choice, in order for God to become a man and to be of flesh, he would have to be to have a mother. And this mother would be a human being, and she would be a creature. But because she would be the mother of God, she would take her place at the very head of creation. She would become number one in the kingdom. Lucifer would become number two. He realized all of these truths. It is irrational for God to become a creature because he's God. He should never lower himself to the level of his creation. It is irrational that if he was going to make the choice of becoming a creature, to become a lower form of creature and not the highest. And then to make one of the lower forms of creation, a woman, to be the head of all creation, including the head of all of the angels. She would take her place not only over all of men, but over all of the angels as well. Because she would be the mother of God, and therefore over his creation, including the angels. Non serviam. St. Augustine says, in this sin, we see all sinful choices. They are all there. All sins consist of, I will not serve. And the definition of the sin that Lucifer committed is a sin of pride. It is the principal sin that we commit. In fact, every single sin that we commit is in one form or another a sin of pride. Even our sins of weakness, such as the sins of anger, the sins against purity. Even these are sins of pride. Pride is behind every evil choice that has ever been made in the creation of this universe. It was the choice that created the reality of hell. We meditated a portion of hell yesterday. We did not meditate upon the more serious or more painful aspects of hell, only upon the lesser aspects of hell. But still, this evil place that is called hell is the result of the choice of pride. It caused a disruption of the universe, says the fathers of the church, the early fathers. When the angels made this choice, the whole universe shook, for it was their duty to govern this universe, push the stars around and the planets and keep things in their place. The angels have all kinds of innumerable tasks throughout the entirety of the universe, which makes them very much a part of the same place in which we are, making sure that all the laws are fulfilled. And when one third of those angels rebelled, the Creator, the whole of the universe shook, say the early fathers of the church. Consequences of this one sin. There is hell. Hell was created because of only one sin. And we deal with the consequences of the sin of Lucifer every day. For at every moment of our lives, including this moment now, as I stand at the pulpit and as you sit in the pews, the devil is here in this church. He is trying to tempt every one of us. He is trying to make us to not profit from our work and our responsibilities. He is trying to prepare us to commit another sin. He is instigating evil throughout the entirety of the world, and he has been since its creation, beginning with the temptation of Adam and Eve themselves. The devil does his work. But remember this. All the evil work that the Satan and the other angels have ever committed in this life, they are in fact their temptations, their desire to possess and create fear and terror and to destroy, as is described in the book of Job. Their work throughout the entirety of the universe is not equal to the evil of the one sin that they committed. It is simply an aftershock or an after effect of one moral choice. We can only understand the seriousness of the consequences of our one moral choices. One moral choice by Lucifer. Because of his position amongst the angels, because of his intelligence, because of the fact that he was the greatest creation of God, billions and billions of lower angels said, I think you're right. And they followed him. Remember St. Ambrose and St. Augustine and St. John Chrysostom tell us that the number of the angels infinitely exceeds the number of men. 99 angels saved, which is 2/3 of the angels. One sheep lost, which is the totality of the number of men. And so the whole of men from all time, the billions of men that have ever lived, they do not equal 1% of the totality of the angels that are saved, and that is only 2/3 of all the angels. And so there are billions and billions and billions of angels in hell. Billions of them. One creature made one choice. Based on the reasoning, as it is described to you from St. Thomas Aquinas, and there is hell. And the hell that the angels experience is infinitely worse than the hell that man will experience. They are more beautiful creatures, they are more powerful creatures, they are creatures that were made closer to God. And when they made that choice to go away from God, their hell cannot be compared to the hell of men. It is infinitely worse. And the small after effect or an aftershock of their hellish choice of committing that very first single sin is the temptation of all men of all time and the desire to destroy not only man's soul, but his body and his order, his society in which he lives, whether it be the society of the family or the society of the country or the society of the church. There is one goal of the devil, and that is to bring evil throughout the entirety of the universe. And it is only an effect of the evil choice that he made. One sin. One mortal sin. Let me go to the brief contemplation of the sin of Adam. He committed one sin also. The eating of the forbidden fruit. Why did he eat it? Because he wanted to be like God. He wanted to have the knowledge of good and evil. You see, before he ate the fruit, he only knew good. He was missing out. And ever since this time, you will note to the young, whenever they run across bad companions, they're always told, "You are missing out. You're not experiencing the whole of life. You don't know life. Because you don't know life until you know sin. You don't know life until you know evil. You do not know life until you know the path to hell." This is the education. And what do we mean when we say children are very mature early these days? We mean they know sin at a very young age. And the child that is innocent, we say that he is still a child, because he is innocent and he has not yet learned hell. He has not yet learned evil. Our world is so immersed in evil that we look down upon those that do not know it. All because of a choice that Adam made. What are some consequences of his choice? When God created Adam, he was given the four preternatural gifts, infused knowledge, the infused virtues. For him to live the virtuous life and to do good was easy, was automatic. There was no difficulty at all in making all the right choices. And then freedom from suffering and death. He was not going to die. It was not given for man to die. Man was created as an immortal being, and he was meant to spend a few years on this earth, and after those few years to pass into eternity and be saved. But Adam decided to change that by one moral choice. Eve was the assistant in helping him to make that moral choice. But he is the one who committed the original sin. Had he not committed it, there would be no death in this world. There would be no growing old. There would be no physical pain of any kind. There would be no experience of loss, no cemeteries. There would be no corruption in our world of any kind. Everything would be peaceful and perfect. And it is not only because of his one choice. Many millions and perhaps billions of souls have gone to hell because of their inclinations that come from the choice of Adam. Now we say there are three special inclinations that come from his choice. The darkening of the intellect, the weakening of the will, and the strong inclination to evil. Every one of us is born with a darkened intellect. It is hard for us to learn because of his sin. And we say we're going to do something, but we don't do it. Our wills are weak because of his sin. And we have the very strong inclination to commit evil. The darkening of the intellect, the weakening of the will, the strong inclination to evil. These are effects of that choice. and then the souls that are burning in hell. And then there are my own personal choices. It is given for all men to die, and after death the judgment because of sin, says St. Paul. Sin came into the world, and because of it there is death, because of it there is separation. There is no other evil besides sin. There's no such thing. And yet we are not afraid of sin. We are afraid of losing our health, afraid of losing our finances, but we are not afraid of losing our God. When the consequences of that choice, eternal fire, eternal burning, eternal destruction, it is necessary to turn away from these things. A few things from sacred scripture here. On this evil, the evil of sin. In the book of Isaiah, they have conceived labor, and they have brought forth iniquity. They have broken the eggs of the asps and have woven the webs of spiders. He that shall eat of their eggs shall die, and that which is brought out shall be hatched. Behold, O Lord, for I am in distress. My bowels are troubled. My heart is turned within me, for I am full of bitterness. Abroad the sword destroyeth, and at home there is death alike. They have labored to commit iniquity. Evil pursueth the sinners. And he that soweth iniquity shall reap evils, and with the rod of his anger he shall be consumed. Thy own wickedness shall reprove thee, and thy apostasy shall rebuke thee. Know thou and see that it is an evil and a bitter thing for thee to have left the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not with thee, saith the Lord, the God of hosts. I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy, and with a cruel chastisement. By reason of the multitude of thy iniquities, thy sins are hardened. Because he hath done more than he could, therefore they have perished. He that is perverse in his ways shall fall at once. Transgressors shall pine away in the end. Upon sinners are sevenfold more. More death and bloodshed, strife and the sword, oppressions and famine and affliction and scourges. A wicked soul shall destroy him that hath it, and maketh him to be a joy to his enemies, and shall lead him with the lot of the wicked. We have wearied ourselves in the way of iniquity and destruction, and have walked through hard ways, but the way of the Lord we have not known. What hath pride profited us? Nothing upon the earth is done without a cause, and sorrow doth not spring out from the ground. I remember the evils that I have done in Jerusalem, from whence also I took away all the spoils of gold and of silver and that were in it, and I sent to destroy the inhabitants of Judah without cause. I know therefore that for this cause, these behold, I perish with great grief in the strange land. The wicked man diggeth evil, and his lips is as a burning fire. There is no evil in this earth, says sacred scripture, that does not come from sin. And there is no sin that does not flow from the free will of man. God in his anger shall punish the sin, and we shall be cast into hell. But one of the great tortures of hell, so the lady that went to it in 1937, mentioned yesterday, Annette, with her friend Clara, she says that one of the great tortures of hell is that even in hell we experience the divine mercy, and we hate it, for we do not suffer as much as we should. Our suffering and burning in this place does not equal the evil of the sins that we have committed. And so we experience the holding back of the divine wrath. And it causes us anger. And yet we experience the totality of the divine wrath. And it causes us fear. And there is no holding back of that wrath. Hell is the place of contradiction. The contradiction is created on this earth by the choices that we make. And we who have made these choices of committing of one mortal sin are deserving of the burning into the fires of hell. And let us travel through our own lives. St. Ignatius says, consider the persons with whom you have lived. Consider the places. Consider the occupations. Consider the positions of authority, the responsibilities. And looking upon each of these from our childhood to the present, we discover that we have successfully used every single one of them in order to offend God. And many thousands of times we have already earned the fires of hell. We've already earned damnation. Remember the 5-year-old boy that St. Gregory the Great saw in his vision before he became Pope? 5-year-old boy who committed one mortal sin. He died in an accident and is now burning in hell. St. John Bosco describes an 8-year-old boy in his school. One of his own students learned to commit the sins against purity at an early age, died in an accident, and went straight to hell. These boys burn in hell now. And a moment in hell is as an eternity on earth. And they have been burning for a long time in that place after committing only one sin. And St. Alphonsus Liguori says, you fools, you think that you live the measure of time. You do not. You live the measure of grace. There is one sin that God has counted that shall be your last. There is one grace that shall be the last given to you. And when that grace is given, it is either accepted and we are saved, rejected and we are damned. And when the sin is committed, he has counted up the number of sins. And who knows the number of God? For the 5-year-old boy born 1,500 years ago, it was one sin. What shall it be for us? God should have already many times put each of us into the fires of hell. It is the place where we belong. St. Teresa of Avila was once brought down into hell. She saw the many places of torture throughout that kingdom. And when she was being brought by her angel throughout the place of hell, she went to an empty torture chamber. And she saw all these horrible tortures. But the chamber was empty. And so she said to her angel, whose place is this? The angel said to her, that is your place in hell. For the devils are preparing it for you now. If you are not faithful to God and not faithful to your work, this shall be your place. God is preparing a place for us in heaven. The devil is preparing a place in hell. When we are making choices, are we making choices to be pleasing to God? Or are we making choices of sins? Which choices predominate in our lives? It is necessary to make sure that it changes. There is only one place where you can go to have the sins removed. This is the sacred sacrament of confession. You should do your best to take advantage of that sacrament. We each of us have deserved to burn in hell. We each of us have a darkness that clouds us. Sin damages the understanding, damages the will, damages our bodies, hastens death, creates despair and anguish and anxiety. Look at the world around us. It is a world of sin. It is a world of misery and emptiness, a world of sorrow. Infinite are the sorrows of the wicked, says the book of Psalms. They are infinite. We must leave the realm of the wicked. One sinful choice that we make is deserving of the eternity of hell. We need to no longer make such choices. So this, now I have to go